Welcome to the weekly podcast from Harvest Ridge Church in North Ridgeville, Ohio. Our heart's desire is that you would grow in your love and devotion to Jesus Christ, and that these messages will strengthen your daily walk. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at www.harvestridge.net.
Well, good morning, everyone. Happy Easter to you, or Resurrection Day. Somebody asked me if we needed to call it Resurrection Day or Easter. I said, I think God knows what's in our heart, so I'm not so worried about terminology. He's alive. He is risen indeed. And you know what? We are a part of a great, I was singing that song earlier thinking about strongholds bowing to our Savior and about all the people everywhere around the world today that are going to be praising Jesus for his resurrection. Not just me, not just you, not just in this room, not just the services that came before, but churches in this community and churches in this state and churches in the United States and churches around the world. And not only for this now moment, but generations before and the should the Lord tarry generations to come. People, billions, worshiping a solitary carpenter who grew up on the backside of nowhere in the Roman Empire that is now the ruler and acknowledges the ruler of heaven and earth. What an amazing thought. You know, if it weren't God, it wouldn't have worked. And here we go today. I get a chance to share with you. But before I do that, can I just, I got to make jokes. I got to make a couple of jokes. And Easter jokes are so hard to find because they all have bunnies in them. Like, I don't know what a bunny has to do with Easter, but we'll do it anyway, all right? All right, what does the bunny, Easter bunny order at Starbucks? Eggspresso. What does the Easter bunny say after burping? Excuse me. What does the Easter bunny get? How did the Easter bunny get his job? He had egg experience. Thank you for the help, whoever's helping. Greatly appreciated. That was excellent of you. Extraordinary. Exemplary. I'll stop. So what's your story? What's your story? So I did it again today. I asked somebody, said, give me the news. What's the big news? What's going on? When I ask you what the big news is, what I'm asking you is, if we were to write a newspaper article about your life, what would be the headline for this week? What would be the headline? Or maybe, what is the headline of your life? You know, there's a story. Everybody has a story. And I think it's appropriate for us to listen to people's stories. So when I come up to you and I say, hey, what's the big news? I want to hear your story because your story is important to me. Stories are important. You know, we all have a story. Maybe it was a tragedy. Maybe it was the death of a parent or maybe a death of a sibling or maybe that divorce that happened when you were a kid. Maybe it was that horrible accident. Maybe it's something bad, or maybe it's something good. Maybe it was the birth of a child, or it was the job, the dream job you got, or the great success you had. Or like me, I'll tell you my story. It was 1987. I was in biology class. Well, let's just say I was at a Bible college, so it wasn't your typical biology class. And I'm sitting here, okay? So I'm sitting on this side of the class, and I'm sitting next to this girl, and she's a little cray-cray. She had this thing going for me, and she's a little over-possessive, and that, you know, and it ceased to be fun sitting next to her. Little advice on dating for both males and females. If you're too desperate, it drives people away. Anyway, here she was being a little crazy. And I'm listening to the other side of the room. And on the other side of biology class, they were having fun. And there was a lot of laughing. And there was a lot of giggling and hanging out. And all this stuff going on. And I'm like, why am I sitting here next to this every day? So I got up and moved to the fun side of the class, and I sat down next to a girl. Come to find out, that girl was the center of all the jokes. And she was the center of all the fun and all the laughter. And one day, I'm walking out of class, and I look at that girl, and I thought, she's sort of cute. And 36 years later, I'm still married to her. Let me tell you when she had me, though, okay? We had just started hanging out together, and we're at Salad Bar Line. And as we're at the salad bar, we're standing there calling out the items that we're putting on our plates, you know, broccoli, cheese, lettuce, ranch dressing. I said, cauliflower. And she said, tulip. I knew she was my woman. I just knew it. If you didn't get that, cauliflower, tulip. Anyway. And she even confirmed it. We're down at the end of the salad bar, and she said, she put some bacon bits in her hand and said, here, I'm at your bacon call. It was all I could, I almost dropped to my knees and proposed right then. Because she was fun, and you know what? It's been fun ever since. That's my story. My story is the best decision I ever made was moving to the other side of the class to hang out with somebody that was fun. What's your story? What's your story? And what part of your story you're in? Are you at a place where you're making a new part of your story right now? You know, there's a story that matters, and your story that matters changes everything. I want to share a story from a little young lady at our church.
Sophia, what is that?
It's a story.
You made a story during your quiet time?
Yeah.
With even popsicle sticks? Oh my goodness. Okay, tell me your story.
One day there was a cross. Jesus died on that cross. Everyone was sad when Jesus died on the cross. Jesus has the power to give life.
Oh my goodness! Good job, girl! I love it!
You know, I want everybody to know that story. That Jesus not only died on the cross, but Jesus has the power to give life. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, but I want to tell you about a guy's story in the Bible, all right? We're going to walk through Isaiah chapter 53 in a bit. So if you got a Bible and you want to go to Isaiah 53, I'd rather you hang out there. We're going to walk through another passage that actually mentions Isaiah 53, and that passage is going to be Acts chapter 8. We're going to be in Acts 8. We're going to read the story of an Ethiopian eunuch. So we're going to talk about a eunuch today. Yes, it is not G-rated Sunday at Harvest Ridge. I'm going to have to say some things that aren't G-rated because you know your Bible and life is not always G-rated, right? It's not even PG, and sometimes not even PG-13. Sometimes it's a little more. All right, so here's what we're going to do. In a second, I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to stand in honor of God's Word. See, we believe at Harvest Ridge, this is God's Word. We believe that God's Word was mediated through man. So there's humanity mixed in with this book of divinity. God breathed His life into it, though. So because there's the breath of life when you read this book, this word isn't just some history book. We're reading life from God through the words of man, penned on ink, put in paper, transmitted to us, and we're reading God's word to us. And to do that, I think it's appropriate for us to respect the reading of God's word to us, the words of God mediated through the words of men, and we get a chance to read it together, all right? So in honor of that, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet as we respect God's Word, and we're going to read Acts, I'm going to read for you Acts chapter 20, Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Y'all ready? Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, all right, I already got to stop. Sorry, got to stop. I got to explain to you who Philip is. Philip was one of the first deacons of the church. Now, the word deacon, we have a meaning of what it means, but the word originally meant a servant or a slave or a table servant, somebody that did the menial task of the house. What happened is the church began to grow. The apostles were not able to feed all the widows that needed taken care of, and the people were complaining, you know, the widows aren't getting their food. So the apostles said, hey, You just appoint some guys to take care of that. We're going to devote ourselves to preaching the word and to prayer and to doing our job. You get some guys to take care of the deacon stuff, the slave stuff, the table servant stuff. You following? So Philip was one of the first seven. But it's amazing because when you're faithful in a little thing, God gives you more. So Philip didn't just take care of tables. He had actually, earlier in Acts chapter 8, he's been preaching a revival in a place called Samaria. And literally, hundreds of people are getting saved. Lives are being changed. Miracles are happening. Demon-possessed people are being set free. There is all kinds of miraculous stuff happening through Philip, the table servant, because God's not a respecter of person. He gives the Holy Spirit's power on anybody that lets the Holy Spirit power work through them. So here he is. Now, he's in the middle of this big revival, and everything's going great. And the angel of the Lord said to Philip, leave. Get out of here. Get out of the successful moment and go south on the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out. Let me see. So he started out. Where am I at? And on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of Candake, which means the queen of the Ethiopians. If you have an earlier version, it's Candace. It's a throne name for a lady who is the queen of the Ethiopians. And he is the treasurer in charge of their entire country. He's the treasurer, and he works closely with the queen. All right? Everybody understand that? It's going to matter in a minute. The man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. Now, hold on. Let's back up. I got to looking at this and tried to figure out where he came from, where he was going. This guy was from Africa, the heart of Africa, actually, because if this is the Mediterranean like this, this is the edge of the Mediterranean Sea, and Israel sat here and Egypt is here, Sudan is down here, and he was from down in this area, down in Sudan. So here's a guy that's from the Ethiopians, who had traveled from all the way down here up to Jerusalem. That's a long ways. That's several hundred miles. So he's traveled to Jerusalem to worship. All right. And on his way home, he was sitting in the chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. Now the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. I want you to notice what the Holy Spirit's been doing. The Holy Spirit puts you in the right place at the right time. No, I don't think you got that. Holy Spirit told him to leave this place, go to this place, and says, go near that chariot. But I want you to know that everything else that happens in this story by Philip is not the Holy Spirit's doing, it's Philip's doing. Because the Holy Spirit puts you in the right place at the right time, but it is your job to do something about it. Somebody ought to say amen to that one, right? It's your job to do something about it. Listen to the Spirit to get in the right place at the right time. But you're not getting that job unless you do the work. All right. Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. And he said, so Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. The man said, how can I unless someone explains it to me? So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And this is the passage of scripture which the eunuch was reading. Listen to the scripture. Oh, wow. We'll come back to it. He was led like a sheep to slaughter, as a lamb before its shearer is silent. He did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was, notice this, deprived of justice. We're talking about a eunuch, made a eunuch before puberty, while he was still a boy. And he's reading about somebody who is deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? Well, come on, do you think that applied to that eunuch? So the eunuch is sitting there going, wow. And then he reads, for his life was taken from the earth. That means he was what? Killed. All right. Then the eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who's this prophet talking about, himself or someone else? There's a big question. Who's this about? And then Philip began with that very passage of scripture. Duh. That's a great starting point. He started right there and told them the good news about Jesus. And as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, hey, look, here's water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized? Now, that's some kind of question, and that's loaded. We'll get to that. All right, I'm going to break down this story. Before I do, I think we ought to pray and ask God to help us hear, okay? Father, I ask that you would help us hear what you say to us, and help me say it in such a way that it can be understood. And God, would you speak to hearts? In the name of Jesus, we pray it. Amen. Amen. Before you're seated, why don't you give somebody a big high five? Tell them hi. Give them a smile. At least let them know somebody cares. If you're online, high five. All right, we're going to look into the story of a man. Story of a man that we shouldn't even know his story, but we have his story in the scriptures. What's his story? Well, we're going to hear. But to understand his story, we have to start with his backstory. There's a couple of things about Ethiopian eunuch you need to know and understand before you can understand what his actual story is. First of all, he was from Ethiopia, the land of Sudan. I already told you where that is. He was an important official of the queen of Ethiopia. Throne name was Candace. Now, as an official who was going to spend all his time with the queen, by the way, if there's a queen, often there is a oh, wow. All right. You guys getting this? Now, there's something we know about ancient kings. This, by the way, was not the 21st century. We live in the 21st century. We have a way of viewing the world in the 21st century that is not the same that people have viewed the world for literally the thousands and thousands of years of humanity, correct? Can we do ourselves a favor today? Would we understand that not everybody thinks about everything the way we do now? Now, I'm not saying it's right, but I'm saying this is what they did. As a matter of fact, I'm going to say it was just as wrong then as it would be now. But they took this guy who is going to be, the king took this guy who is going to be working with his queen. And I don't want no guy hanging out with my queen all the time that still got the ability. So do you know what he did? If you're, this was common practice. If you worked with a queen or the concubines of the king, it was common practice. If you're going to work with them, we set you aside. So the dude wasn't just castrated. In all probability, he was also emasculated. Why? Because the king didn't want any court people messing with his queen. So he was going to make sure it didn't happen. Now, this is the backstory of a guy who says he was deprived of justice. He reads those words. All right, what else about this guy? We know him as a eunuch. It's funny to me. There's no name attached to him. There's the name of the queen, but not his name. We know Philip's name. We don't know his. The only thing we know about him is they wanted to make sure we understood the dude was a eunuch. And that, one more thing about eunuchs. Where had he gone? He had traveled all the way down from Sudan, through Egypt, up through the desert of Paddan Aram in that area, up through there, and he came up to Jerusalem to worship. And when he goes all that distance up here to worship, he gets to the temple to worship, and as a eunuch, he wasn't allowed in. Now, he had probably heard about God because he was a treasurer. And as treasurer, there was probably people that came to and from doing trading with his company, with his country. And in those trading moments, he heard about, now down here in Sudan, they were animistic and they believed that, you know, the gods of the spirits were in the earth and all this kind of stuff. Sounds sort of like Hollywood in the 21st century. Anyway, they believed that there were all these gods and the spirits and the winds and the mountains, and that was your grandma and your grandpa who died who were doing it, and they were all goofed up. And then this guy hears about one God who made it all, who controls it all, who is Lord of all, and this God is worshiped in Jerusalem. And he's like, I got to find out about that. And something in his heart was drawn to the story of this one powerful God. So he goes all that way. He makes this expensive, extraordinary journey to get to Jerusalem to worship. And when he gets there, Deuteronomy 23:1 says, "No one who has been emasculated by crushing or cutting may enter the assembly of the Lord." He travels all that way to be rejected at the door. Anybody ever, Ticketmaster, bought the wrong tickets? You show up for your show and you get there and it was last night's show you bought the ticket for. Anybody ever done that? I've never done that. What? How horrible must it have been to travel all that way, to devote all that time and energy and to get there. And when you get there, you're not welcome. When you get there, you're not good enough for God. When you get there, you're not good enough for this people. You're not only the wrong race, now you're the wrong sexual whatever they made you into. Wow. What would be the attitude of most people? The attitude of most people that I've dealt with over the years, when they meet that in kind of encounter, I hear, "Well, I tried, but it didn't work." This one always gets me when people say that to me. So I normally press, and if you'll be honest with me, those of you that say, "I tried that religion thing, it didn't work." When I really press you, I find out it was about 3 days when you got caught in some really bad sin, so you repented for about 3 days. "I tried that Jesus thing, it didn't work." "How long?" "3 days." "Oh, okay." Nothing like pressing through the pain, bro. Hey, there's one thing I know, that winners never quit and quitters never win. My coach taught me that all the way back in the fourth grade. Quitters never win and winners never, ever, ever quit. And you know what this guy did? He knew there was something real about God and he didn't stop because he traveled a long way and was rejected. So what did he do? He bought a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Now, that may not sound like much to me and you who have books readily available to us anytime. But they had to go to extraordinary measures to make a scroll. Paper was hard to find, so they would take papyrus reed and they would scrape it out and dry it. And then they would take another papyrus reed, scrape it out and dry it, and lay it crossways on it. And then they would take another papyrus reed, scrape it out and dry it, and put it on top. And they'd glue it all together. And then somebody would, by hand, word for word, copy every single word of the book of Isaiah, which is 66 chapters long. Some of them 60 verses. That's thousands of words copied by hand on man-made paper. Do you know how expensive that had to be? Incredibly expensive. So here we've got a guy that even after he's rejected, buys the scroll. And he didn't just read a couple of verses of it. He didn't get to chapter 1 and stop, or chapter 2 and stop, or chapter 5 and stop, or chapter 10 and stop, or 15 or 30 or 40 or 45 or 50. He got to 53. The guy is persistent. What he's saying is just because I've had some rough stuff in my life and some bad things happen to me that I don't deserve, I'm not quitting just because there's a problem. I read this guy's story this morning. His name is Rahil Patel. Rahil Patel was raised a Hindu in Great Britain. And he was a Hindu, he became a speaker, and then he became a synagogue leader, or whatever they called them, their worship spot leader. And he started founding them around Europe, and he founded several, and he was in the whole process, and he realized, I've seen Oz behind Hinduism. I've been behind the curtain of Hinduism, and I realized that Oz back there is nothing. There's nothing back here. It's all lies and deception, and there's no substance to it. And he's begun searching for who is the real God, the real maker of the universe. Because he said, "I've been there. It didn't make sense. It doesn't work. It's not real." And then one day, after he got kicked out of everything he was a part of for asking questions, which, by the way, I want to just tell you, if you ask questions around here, we don't kick you out. We say it's about time you start asking questions. Because God can handle your questions. The truth can handle your questions. All right. So anyway, Rahil, he found out there was nothing behind the curtain of Hinduism. And then one day he was walking past a church and he walked in and he heard the message of Jesus and he gave his life to Christ. And for the last 15, 16 years, he has been serving Jesus because he found the truth he was looking for. What's his story? What's his story? His story was he realized there was nothing to his views of God. He needed the real God, the resurrected God in Jesus Christ. So what's your story? What's his story? What's the story he was reading? So Isaiah, the eunuch was reading the story of Isaiah. Isaiah 53. Now, this is unique. I'll explain a little bit. Let's read it. I wanted the whole words. I wanted all the words on the screen. So we're going to put the entirety of the words up here. I start in verse 4. Verses 1 through 3 are just as good. But I wanted us to read it. I want us just to walk through it together. And I want you to notice some of the highlight words that are here and see if this story speaks of another story that's going to happen about 700-800 years after that. Surely, he took up our pain and bore our suffering. I wonder if when the eunuch read those words with what happened to him, I wonder if the eunuch immediately identified with this story. He did. We know that from how he was reading it and the question he asked. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced. By the way, that Hebrew word there, Hallel, or Hallel, or whatever. If you say it in Hebrew, you got to sound like you got something stuck in your throat, right? Hallel. In the Hebrew, that word literally means to be punctured or to be pierced. But anyway, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, but the Lord has laid upon him. Singular, singular, masculine word. It switches right here. The Lord has laid upon one man. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to slaughter, as a sheep before his shearers was silent. Mark chapter 14, verse 61, Jesus was silent before his accusers. So he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. Come on, what does that mean, cut off from the land of the living? What does that mean? He's dead. He was killed. He was dead. For the transgression of my people, he was punished. He was assigned, in case you're wondering if he was dead, he was assigned to what? He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Matthew chapter 27, verse 60. Jesus was laid in a new rich man's tomb. Come on. Though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit found in his mouth, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and to cause him to suffer. Though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin. I just want to reference the fact that Leviticus 16:22 says that goats and lambs are what carry our sins. It's not a human being that covers our sin. Can we go back to the slide from Isaiah 53, please? The Lord makes his life an offering for sin. We will see, yet he will, hold on, what? He will see his offspring? You mean the dead man's going to give life to people and they're going to be his children? I don't think you guys are getting this, are you? And prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. And after he has suffered, just wondered, after he suffered, he's died, been buried in the grave, what's going to happen? He will see the what? He's going to die, be buried in a rich man's tomb, and he's going to do what? He's going to rise from the dead. and be satisfied, and by his knowledge, my servant, righteous servant, will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, will divide the spoils among the strong, because he poured out his life even unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Now, there is a question, the Ethiopian eunuch, when he read this, do you think he identified at all with somebody who suffered unjustly at the hands of those that deserved the penalty themselves, but yet he carried their penalty? He was the one that suffered because they made the mistakes, because they did wrong. And he's reading this story of a man who carried the sins of all humanity. And he's saying, who's this guy talking about? The prophet? This doesn't sound like the prophet's talking about himself. Oh, and Philip said, he's not. Dude, let me tell you what just happened. This last week, let me just tell you what happened recently. There was this guy named Jesus. He was born of a woman, but not of a man. Therefore, he never inherited the sin nature of humanity. And he died upon a cross. And when he died upon the cross, he bore the sins of all people on Passover day, on the day when the lamb is sacrificed so that we could have life. Jesus was the one who died right then, right there on the cross. And then 3 days later, the light of life came back. He was buried in a grave with the rich, and now he's resurrected. Everything here screams Jesus. Amen. So much so that I've been told, and I looked up, and I double question and triple question this. But it's, do you know that Jewish synagogues, when they're reading the book of Isaiah, read Isaiah 51 and 52, and they go to 54? Do you know why they skip 53? Because that's why. You don't want to admit you're wrong, but anyway, you're wrong. All right. So Philip began with that very passage of scripture and explained Jesus. So what's the story the Ethiopian eunuch told after this moment? Well, he knew that God understood and identified with his pain. He knew that Jesus knew what it was like to suffer unjustly. But he also knew that Jesus had the victory that comes from staying with God's will and purposes. Come on, this sounds like the same guy I'm talking about, right? You know, the church, it also gives me good news too. What's the good news? Good news is that God accepts losers like me. The church, anybody ever watch Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Remember ever watch it? I love Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. You know what I love about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? The land of misfit toys. I love the land of misfit toys. You know why I love it so much? Because I'm a train with square wheels. That's me. Anybody ever feel like a train with square wheels? Come on. Yeah. The church is the land of misfit toys, where he, the punishment that brought us peace, was upon him. And even though you may be a misfit and you don't fit with this world, and even though you may have not done all the things the right way, and even though your life may be a bit of a mess, you come to a Jesus that knows what it's like to have his life made a mess for your life so you don't have to be a mess anymore. So I was reading this book, In the Eye of the Storm, it's got Max Lucado. I love his stories. He was writing about this boy that walked into a pet shop looking for a puppy. And he walked in and said, "Hey, Mr. Pet Shop Owner, are there any puppies?" And he said, "Yeah, we just had a litter. Go in the back and look at it." So the boy goes in the back and he looks through the puppies and he's picking up all the puppies and looking at them. Finally, he walks back to the owner of the pet shop and he says, "I found the one I want." And the owner said, "Well, you better hurry. These kind of puppies don't they don't last very long. He said, no, I think mine will be here. So he goes away, and apparently the boy had been saving his money, needed a little bit more to do some odd jobs for the weekend. So I don't know if he was delivering papers or pulling weeds from the neighbor's grass, but when he comes back in, he brings in, you know, all the change and the coins, and he counts out the amount for the puppy. And the guy, the pet store owner, says, that's enough. Said, now you can go get your puppy. So he goes back to the box, and he reaches around in the box. He looks around. He picks one up and walks to the front counter. And the owner of the pet store said, son, you don't want this puppy. This puppy's got a bad leg. It's a lame leg. This puppy will never be able to run and jump and play with you. This puppy will never be just right for you, son. I think you should get another one. And the boy said, no, this is the puppy I want. And he picked the puppy up and he started walking out. As he was walking out, the owner of the pet shop looked down and he saw for the first time that the boy's leg was in a brace, and he was walking with a brace. And you see what happened is that boy wanted a puppy who was broken like him, because he understood his brokenness. And if you think you're too broken for God, you're not too broken, because Jesus took all of your brokenness upon himself. So there's only one response to this kind of love. This kind of goodness, there's only one response. Acts chapter 8, verse 36. So they travel along the road, the eunuch, they're traveling along. He came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here's some water. They were in a desert, guys. Come on, they're in a desert. And they come to some water, and he said, hey, look, stop, there's water. Listen to the expectation. Remember, everything in his life had told him, you're not accepted. And he said, what can stand in the way of me being baptized? Is there anything now? Is there anything? I traveled to Jerusalem. They didn't let me in. I've wanted a family. I can't. My world's a mess. Is there anything standing in the way of me accepting this love? And he gave orders to stop the chariot, and both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. Because here's the deal. When you reach out to Jesus, Jesus takes you in. Amen. So when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch didn't see him again, but he went on his way rejoicing. Here's what we know. Church history tells us that this eunuch went home, and there was a great Christian movement in Ethiopia that started because of one man's witness that you don't know his name, because he was accepted. Thousands of others received acceptance. What's your story? We know his story. What's your story? Last night after I preached, Jackie Workman told me her story. Her story was, she was 3 years old, and they had a fire in the neighbor's backyard, and she was over playing. It was in the days, you know, when parents weren't always out with their kids. And somebody thought it was wise to throw some kind of flammable liquid on the fire. And when they did, some of it spilled on her. And she was too close to the fire, and it caught the back of her clothing on fire. And she lifted up her leg and showed me the scar on her leg. It's not just her leg, it's her entire back. Third degree and worse burns. She was 3 years old. She should have died right there. They picked her up. They put her in the car. Her mom, her grandma, and her grandpa put her in the car to drive her to the hospital, and she says, to this very day, I can still see him. There weren't three people in the car. There were four people in the car. And when I heard that story, I thought of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire, and there was a fourth man in the fire. And a woman who should have died is now living and serving Jesus to this very day because there was a fourth person in the car that saved her life. What's your story? I know what her story is. Now I know why she's so stinking remarkable, right? What's your story? And if you don't have a story, well, today's a good day to make a story. Yes. Today's a great day to make your story. Welcome. Here's what happened to me. I was 17 years old. I was sitting right about where you are. So right there. Yep. Sitting about there. It was a Sunday morning, and the pastor, he stopped, middle of the sermon, he said, I can't preach anymore, there's somebody in here, you're not saved, you're running from God, and it's your day to get saved. Well, I couldn't breathe anymore. All the oxygen left the room. All the oxygen just left the room, and I couldn't breathe. Come on, you know what I'm talking about? Because I knew the Holy Spirit was talking to me. It wasn't him. It wasn't no preacher talking to me. It was the Holy Spirit. And he said, there's somebody, you're running from God, and today is your day of salvation. I'm like, ain't no way, ain't no way, ain't no way I am getting up. Ain't no way I am getting up. And he said, get up and come on up here and accept Jesus right now. And I'm like, ain't no way. And then I still don't know how it happened. Somehow my hand wound up on the pew in front of me. And I'm still thinking, ain't no way. Because you see, I had my plan. I had my story written. I knew what I wanted, and what I wanted, I knew was not what God wanted. Anybody ever been there? You got your plan and God's plan don't look like the same plan? And that day, sitting in that chair, in that church, I still don't know how I got to my feet, but I will tell you what God spoke to me, okay? God's not going to say this to you probably, but he said it to me because he knows I'm a hardhead. He told me, this is the last time I'm talking to you. I remember clear as a bell, this is the last time I'm going to talk to you. It's turn or burn, buddy. It's what he told me. I remember that day clear as a bell. I remember those words. And all the air was out of the room, and I stood up to my feet, and I wound up at an altar, and I just want you to know, it's the best decision I've ever made in my life. Because I was headed on a path of death and destruction. But Jesus gave me life and a future and freedom and hope and love. All of those things. And you're sitting in this room today and the air suddenly left this room because you know God's talking to you. God's talking to you. Today's your day. So you know what you're going to do? You're going to do like Philip. What happened? Philip said, the eunuch said this. He said, hey, there's some water. What's going to stop me? Is there anything else going to stop me? Philip said, no. There's nothing in the way. If you want life from Jesus, it's real easy to get. Romans 10, 9 and 10, you know what it says? That if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you could be saved. Now, I know I'm supposed to be old-timey Baptist or Assembly of God or whatever the heck I'm supposed to be, but we're not going to do that because the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I believe what we're supposed to do. So this is what we're going to do. Those prayer warriors are going to come right now, and they're going to come stand across the front. These guys are a prayer team, and they have a little sheet of paper in their hand. Can I have one of those sheets of paper? Hey, there's some water. Let's be baptized. So instead of us doing it this morning, which I wanted to do, and we thought logistically that wasn't a great idea, we're going to sign you up today. So when you come up front, it's your day to confess Jesus as your Lord and to say, you know what, my story right now includes Jesus. I am his child. I confess him as my Lord, and I believe that God raised him from the dead. Come on, that kind of belief is not because I've talked you into it, but come on, you did see the prophecy. You know that was written 700 years before Jesus, and there's no way all those details could be done unless God was working. But you know that. You already know that. Are you going to get saved? Are you going to go all in? Are you going to make your story a story of new life, or are you just going to stay with your subpar, below average approach to life? Yeah, I called it subpar and below average. So here's what's going to happen. We start singing this song. If you want to take the next step, it's your day to take the next step. And I'm not asking you to raise your hand maybe like this and pray a little bit of a prayer. I'm asking you to make a commitment. And I'm asking you next week to come ready to get wet as a statement to everybody that you believe in Jesus. Y'all ready? Stand to your feet. Let's go.